Hey, Karate Kid's a great movie. It's the story of a hopeful young karate enthusiast whose dreams and moxie take him all the way to the All Valley Karate Championship. Of course, sadly, he loses in the final round to that nerd kid. But he learns an important lesson about gracefully accepting defeat.
Wait, when you watch The Karate Kid, you actually root for that mean blonde boy?
No, I root for the scrawny loser from New Jersey who barely even knows karate. When I watch The Karate Kid, I root for The Karate Kid, Johnny Lawrence from the Cobra Kai Dojo.
Hey guys, and welcome to another microbrew episode of the Three Drinks In podcast. I'm your host, Vince. Over there is Phil.
Hey.
There's Phil. I want to remind you that Three Drinks In is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Just search for Three Drinks In podcast. You'll easily find us. Click subscribe, tell your friends, leave a review. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Three Drinks In Pod. Like us on Facebook and email us at threedrinksinpodcast@gmail.com. Okay, we are talking about the new Cobra Kai TV show from the good people over there at YouTube, who brought you such fantastic cat videos and, you know, clips of other stuff. And now they're producing their own content. So good for them. I guess there's a paywall for this eventually, but right now it's free. So if you haven't seen it, go and watch it. It doesn't cost you a thing right now, which is good. So I've seen the first two episodes, and you've just finished the first one episode?
Yeah, I watched the first one.
Yeah. Okay. What do we think?
I don't know. It felt like watching a long car commercial. Like, I kept looking in the corner for where it says skip ad, you know, and I was like, oh, wait, this is the thing. This is the show. It felt very cheesy, and, you know, Billy Zabka can't really act that well. I mean, he plays drunk and loud as well as anybody, I guess, but, you know, the more he tried to emote, I was like, ooh, stop. And I didn't have a great connection to that movie. It came out when I was very young, and I only saw it in repeats on, like, Channel 11, so... Like, I had all those flashbacks to it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what happened. Like, I you know, I don't get off when I hear 80s music. So it was, I couldn't possibly watch it anymore. I was like, yeah, this is whatever.
See, I liked it a lot, actually. I guess I was a little young for the movie when it came out properly. Because it came out in the 80s. I can't think of exactly what year it was. I'm actually going to...
Google. There's somebody listening right now who's going to scream it at their car as they're driving, listening to us. Like, I was 80, whatever. How could they not know? But
yeah,
I was born in 85. So
seriously, it was 84. So I was 3 when this movie came out.
But it was -1.
At the same time, though, like the 1980s and, you know, the beginning part of the 90s, karate was a big thing. Like, all of a sudden, kids, were taking it, and there was dojos popping up. It became a big business. Tiger Shulman became a thing. Guy with a Jewish last name was supposed to be teaching, which is not, like, surprising, because, you know, the Israeli Defense Forces are quite capable. But it was just kind of an odd Tiger Shulman, you know, you didn't expect that last name. See, the third movie was the one that I really kind of... So that was 89. So, yeah, I was 7. And that was sort of the beginning of the, you know, when kids want to start taking karate. They're about 7. You know, it's offered as like an after-school club thing at their, you know, their second grade class can, you know, go and learn how to kick, and you get to wear that, the gi, the little bathrobe thing. And so, like, I had a... pretty strong connection to the idea of the, like, you know, knowing karate is cool and be fun to kick someone's ass and to do it in style, because that's what karate really is. It's fighting with style. You know, boxing is, you know, kind of awkward and You know, not as interesting to look at as, you know, watching a kung fu movie or something like that, where you get to kick somebody as well as punch them, even though kicking is not nearly as effective as punching, considering that you're not able to stand while you do it. So, but yeah, I had a pretty strong connection to the movies, and you know, the first movie is a kind of classic underdog story, where the, you know, the little skinny kid from New Jersey gets beat up by the handsome blonde boy from California, and yeah, goes on to win in the end. Although, if you ask Barney Stinson, you hear the story very differently.
Yeah, well, that's the story that they're telling. You know, it's from the bad guy's point of view, where, you know, his life took a terrible turn after that, and he's never recovered, you know, 40 years later.
Yeah, so there's a bit of, like, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, I think, in a way. Like, you know, he seems to be obsessed with this one karate tournament that was 40 years ago, where in reality, probably, you know, a guy like that wouldn't carry that particular scar around with him as boldly as he does. But, you know, for the purpose of the show, this guy does.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? That, you know, and like when he sees Ralph Macchio at the car dealership that he owns, and he's like, hey, you know, this is the guy I beat up. And then, like, all the other guys like, oh, this is the guy who got his ass kicked in the karate tournament. It's like, nobody remembers stuff like this.
Yeah, I know.
High school rivalries, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, some people lived very much, you know, more intense lives in high school than you or I, for good or for bad. You know, I have some people I know that look back on high school very fondly. You and I are not those people.
No.
I think you even less than me.
I hated high school. And I remember quite vividly hating certain people and having rivalries with them. But at the same time, a lot of time passes that just your mind is like, well, I did a lot of other things. Unless all Billy Zabka did was sit in his apartment and drink for the last 30 years, he must have done something else.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have other relationships he could reminisce about?
I think, but that's kind of the thing I like about this, is that they just, you know, they don't offer any explanation for what happened. You find out in episode 2 that he has a son, mm-hmm. Who's like a teenager, who's a real jerk, and who, like, you know, curses him off, like, over the, like, on the phone in front of his principal, kind of thing. Like, so it just sort of accepts that, like, we would, you know, we would rather tell this story right now, and it doesn't really matter how we got here, you know. Just, you know, the tables are very much turned in a, you know, in a superficial kind of way, whereas, you know, LaRusso is very wealthy, and you know, he's got like a karate dojo in his house, this big fancy house. I like the fact that, to me, it's funny that his, you know, he's, you know, he. Both of them are carrying their association with the sport or the art of karate into their adult lives. Zabka is, you know, obsessed and tortured by his loss at the All Valley Tournament, and LaRusso is using it to sell cars. He gives out the bonsai trees, and they're, you know, they're chopping the prices on all their cars, kind of thing. And like, it's really stupid.
But it was all I was ever good at, you know.
You know, so I don't know, but
he sort of have to, because, you know, Billy Zabka is the bad guy, and he's a jerk in the first episode, you know. And so when you see it from that point of view, you have to be like, maybe he'll learn a lesson. I don't know. And you can't just watch him get his ass beat for 10 episodes. But,
well, yeah, I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's fun. It's what's fun to me is how, you know, the show sort of points out how youth culture has changed dramatically since the 1980s. And in some cases, that's good, and in some cases, it's not. So it's good in the sense that there were a lot of kids running around with no supervision and doing all kinds of, you know, inappropriate stuff in the 80s, because the 80s were sort of the first, you know, like all the people who behaved weird and crazy in the 60s and 70s, their kids were now growing up in the 80s. So it was the first generation of, they called them latchkey kids, kids that would, you know, would go home to only one parent, and then therefore that parent would be at work, and so they had to let themselves into their house by themselves. Divorces hit like 50% in the 80s. So this all kinds of, you know, we reminisce about the freedom of the 80s in terms of how kids would, you know, run around and play outside and play on bikes and things like that. And now, you know, we're concerned about helicopter parenting and what have you. You know, so there's goods and bads to all of these different things. And so when the Zapka character is talking to the kid about this or this or that and yelling at him in the dojo to train him, the kid's like, isn't that kind of sexist? Or like he's like kind of PC correcting him. And he just starts to lose. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, it both points out how some of the things we obsess about now in our culture are stupid. And in some ways, we've also become, we're raising kids to be kind of wimpy in a way. And he's pointing out that you need to be more assertive and you need to be, you know, more willing and able to defend yourself from people who want to hurt you. So, in that regard, it's fun and kind of prescient in a way at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun. I mean, the second episode gets a little deeper into stuff, and you know he buys the dojo. He starts to set it up, and you know there's a connection between the kid that's, you know, training with Johnny and LaRusso's daughter, and so they're basically gonna have a rivalry between the two still, and they're gonna have to set up their own dojos and have, they're going to do the whole thing again essentially. But I'm curious to see what, if anything, Johnny learns from the behavior of the sensei from the movie, who was a real abusive jerk.
Yeah, that was back when like movie villains could beat up teenagers.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was funny too. Like the best line I thought was after he beats up the high school kids, and the other kid comes over to thank him. He goes like, "I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to be around kids right now."
Yeah,
because like you can't beat up little kids. They are little kids, even if they are seniors in high school or whatever.
Yeah, they're still minors,
right? So yeah, I mean, it would be interesting and certainly give the character a little bit more depth if he can kind of thread the needle between being the, you know, the mushy and, you know, ultra PC kind of guy that, you know, you find today, and the abusive psychopath that was his teacher. And if he can do that, then that would be a successful sort of arc for the character. And, you know, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see how the whole thing turns out.
Yeah. I like that they were short.
Yeah, it's like this. It doesn't need to be like a 48-minute drama. You know, it's just, it's quick, it's funny, it's, you know, it's not too, it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Hmm.
You know,
I think it was, you know, it could have been a lot worse. It didn't hold my interest. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, it's trading on a lot of nostalgia, as most things are right now. And I think if you didn't have that kind of connection to the movies when you were a kid in the 80s, then yeah, there's not a whole lot. There's not going to do a whole lot for you.
Yeah, well, this is one of those things where, I mean, I think mostly from the 80s, because just the way technology's worked from, you know, this is the time of when people from the 80s and late 70s and stuff, the nostalgia factor is high. You're still young enough that you miss those things, and old enough that you're not going to learn anything new. And we're seeing that now with like 90s stuff. Like as I'm getting older, things from the 90s are coming back. You know, I heard, you know, Hootie the Blowfish on the oldies station the other day and shit like that. And we live in a time where, you know, we can stream everything.
Mm-hmm.
So and all these people have nothing else to do. Billy Zabka and Ralph Macchio had nothing else to do except to do this. And so it's like, well, we could market this stuff. And so you're just getting a lot of, and I feel like a lot of that 80s stuff has already been done. We've parodied every 80s movie ever. and we're slowly making our way through 90s stuff now. So it's like, no, they're making a reboot of The Karate Kid. Okay. You know, it's better than Fuller House, I guess. But it's just already just been done. The Miyagi stuff has been parried already, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, one more thing with the actual people was not as interesting to me as, you know, spoofs from Saturday Night Live where they do it, or How I Met Your Mother, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a market for it, which is the only reason anything ever happens, is because someone's willing to pay for it. So that's most of the reason that they're doing it. But also, I think there's, like, with sitcoms, it's a good example of, like, you know, so for a long time you had, like, the multi-camera comedies that dominated television from the 1960s to the 1990s. And then you slowly got to get these, you know, single camera, Parks and Rec, 30 Rock, you know, Modern Family, all these comedies that pulled out the laugh track and, you know, did things really differently. In some cases they worked, in some cases it just, they were okay, but they were very niche. They had a very tight audience. And then I think the best example is Roseanne. Like, all of a sudden they bring back Roseanne and they get a 20 share on the opening, and that's ridiculous. Nothing gets a 20 share anymore. It also happened to be funny. So you have to make it good for it to be really successful, whether it's, you know, nostalgic or not. But I think that, you know, if you can do both, you'll be all right. And this, I think, essentially does both. It's not bad. It's straightforward and in some cases a little goofy in what it is. But it's never, it doesn't feel cheap. It doesn't feel like it's, you know, like no one knew what they were doing. Yeah, Zapka's not a great actor. You know, he didn't have a career after this movie. It was only because people fondly, recalled watching him in this movie that he ever did anything else that I'm aware of. You know, this was his moment in the zeitgeist, and so he just figured he could capitalize on it, you know, further still. But, like, yeah, it didn't make him any more talented.
No.
Because, like, whenever he's trying to emote and, you know, he's watching, was in the apartment drunk and watching television.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, no, you're overdoing it. You pull it back a little bit, man. We kind of get it. You know, the one thing that the first episode does that I didn't care for was it goes too far in establishing who he is. We don't need to, if you're not going to tell us how we got there, then don't bother to tell me for 17 straight minutes how bad his life is. I understand that. That's very clear to me, you know, that things are not going well, you know, for Mr. Lawrence.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. It got renewed for a second season already.
Yeah, you know, it's probably easy to produce.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, funny story, you know who's producing it? Will Smith.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, his production company is involved with it. Hmm. You know, them and Sony, I think. And, you know, it's interesting how it got on YouTube of all places. I think that's I think that's helping it more than anything else. Because if this was on Netflix, it's, oh, look, it's another thing Netflix is doing that, you know, they have so many, you know, shows like that now. Fuller House is probably the most sort of obvious example of it. But because it's YouTube and it's YouTube, you know, it's kind of different. And no one's ever had content from YouTube before that they, like, sat down to watch, like, television. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a 5-minute clip of a rooster trying to eat something. You know, it's just,
you know, the usual stuff.
Right. I'm trying to think of bizarre crap I've seen on YouTube. But anyway.
Okay.
All right. If you guys have any thoughts about Cobra Kai and the, you know, tidal wave of nostalgia that we're being confronted by, you can tell us on Twitter and on Instagram at 3DrinksInPod. That's at the number 3DrinksInPod. You can like us on Facebook. Email us at 3DrinksInPodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or TuneIn Radio. Click subscribe. Tell your friends. Leave a review. That's it.
That's it.
All right. We'll talk to you next time, guys. Bye. Yep.